Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first episode. Welcome to the first episode of SmackDown Rundown. I am your host, Seth Gutwrench. And with me, we have a couple of co-hosts. Can you introduce yourselves? Graham, why don't you go first?
Sure. How's it going, guys? Graham, GSN Matthews, Bleacher Report Future Columnist, Small Talking Wrestling, have my own wrestling show on blogtalkradio.com/spoilersarchive, spoilers podcast, and excited to do the show today. We talked to SmackDown last night, Fortnite champion, Arnett as well.
Great. Thank you. And Sean?
Hey, guys. My name is Sean Lynn Harris. I make videos, write articles, do podcasts over on WrestleEnigma.com. So make sure you check me out over there. I have stuff to be doing this. My first live podcast. So let's fucking shit up. All right. Take it away.
Thank you, Sean. And it is my first live podcast as well. I have my own blog, GutWrenchPowerBlog.com. I also write for CamelClutchBlog.com. Wrestling Rambles, and Wrestle Enigma, along with Sean. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We're going to be talking about SmackDown, last night's show SmackDown, and we'll preview, along the way, Night of Champions pay-per-view this coming Sunday. So guys, the first thing that we saw last night on SmackDown, an opening segment with Alberto Del Rio, Ricardo Rodriguez, and David Otunga. What did you guys think about this opening segment? Sean?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a pretty good way to start off the show. I thought it was interesting how they brought Christian into it and kind of how he was almost siding with the heels, even though he was just siding with all of WWE. Good way to kick off the show, I thought. I wasn't a huge fan of how David Otunga and Ricardo Rodriguez just broke it once. And they die, but it's probably just broke 50 times a night, and it's seemingly okay. But hey, you never know.
Absolutely. I agree. Graham, what do you think?
I thought it was an okay segment. I thought it was a bit repetitive of what we've seen in recent weeks. David Otunga and Alberto Del Rio have picked up the show in recent weeks, so I thought it was boring, in my opinion. I am not like the storyline they're going with, standing up the bro kick. It doesn't really interest me all that much. I don't want to find a negative towards context, but at least the hyped up the match with Sheamus and Del Rio going into Del Rio, the World Cup Championship, and out of championship.
Right. I mean, We've obviously seen the same storyline for months now with Sheamus and Del Rio. At least they changed it up a little bit. It wasn't so creative, the idea. But at least they gave us something without just the regular shtick of just the one-on-one. They added a little bit something, but Graham, you're absolutely right. You know, it wasn't that creative. It wasn't that interesting. And Sean, I like what you said about, you know, Christian. Definitely a tweener in that segment, though he definitely sided with Sheamus. And I know we haven't seen Christian on TV for quite some time. So, do you guys think that it's just another Sheamus over Del Rio situation, Graham?
Personally, if we're going to get to our Night of Champions picks in a little bit, I think Del Rio might win this Sunday. I think if Sheamus goes over again, it would be Del Rio third time, technically, I believe, on pay-per-view. It's a huge waste of time, but nonetheless, I think Del Rio will finally win the World Heavyweight Championship on Sunday in some form or fashion, probably with the help of David Otunga and Ricardo Rodriguez. As much as I hate to say this, they'll probably carry on a feud on themselves, include it there with Sheamus winning back the World Heavyweight Championship inside the Hell in a Cell structure.
Right. I could definitely see that happening. It was interesting also to see Daniel Bryan come out. Obviously, this was to set up the main event for SmackDown. But what do you guys think about Daniel Bryan getting involved in this opening segment?
Anything with Daniel Bryan is basically awesome at this point. And so, I mean, I had no issue seeing him come out. It seemed kind of random because he is a Raw superstar, but because of the way WWE has kind of been taking out the brand extension, it's no longer a huge surprise to see somebody from Raw go to SmackDown or vice versa. I mean, like I said, anything with Daniel Bryan is going to be entertaining. The fans love him a ton. So why the hell not just have him be on every single show? Send him on Saturday Slam and NXT and fucking everything.
Right. Sean or Graham, who else wants to chime in?
I loved Daniel Bryan's involvement in this. His storyline over the past few months is absolutely entertaining. Probably the most entertaining aspect of WWE right now. As Sean just said, he makes anything 10 times more entertaining. Really loved his involvement in this. Definitely made it 10 times more enjoyable than it could have been. It was simply just Del Rio and David O'Connor.
Absolutely. And those of you who are listening in, you can call in and give us, you know, your take on, you know, the Del Rio Sheamus situation or any other situation as we go along in the show. I think we'll move on from the opening segment and talk about the first match that we saw, which was Sin Cara versus The Miz. And one thing I noticed, guys, was the weird lighting for Sin Cara was back. We hadn't seen it for a while. Maybe that was because he was teaming with Rey Mysterio, but the weird lighting was back. What do you guys think of that? Sean, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I mean, I will never say I'm a big Sin Cara fan. He just doesn't do it for me. I know some people who are big Sin Cara fans. Not for me, though. I've never been a Sin Cara fan of that high-flying style. And as for the lighting, I don't like it. I feel like Miz is just like, what the fuck is going on? Why is it just happening right now? The match itself wasn't bad at all. Sin Cara has improved since first coming into WWE. Gotten used to the American wrestling style. I mean, does he deserve an Intercontinental Championship run? No, probably not. Some people would make the argument that he does. Personally, I don't think he's good enough. I don't think he's ready. The man can't cut a promo, so how is he supposed to carry his title? Miz carries the match, which you know, that's you when you're saying that, but whatever, there was wrestling in it.
All right, and Graham, what did you think?
I think that the match is okay for what it was. It had a few funky spots, but other than that, it was a nice match. Miz Sin Cara, first time ever last night, so I thought it was a good involvement. Get a four-way championship on Sunday. But, yeah, I really liked Miz involvement in this, and Miz Sin Cara. It was a little down with the fact that Miz lost yet another match, because I have a note that every single non-title match. Almost every non-title match has won a title a few months ago. So I think that's an issue. But other than that, I'm just mad about the fatal four-way match on Sunday for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, it seems that every match the Miz is in non-title, he's losing. And, you know, the SummerSlam match he had with Mysterio, he wins. So maybe we're seeing another case of Santino Marella like he was with the U.S. Championship, where he was losing every match even though he was a champion.
Jesus, I hope he's nothing like Santino.
I hope so, too. I mean, I'm a huge Miz fan. I met him personally, and he was the nicest wrestler I have ever met personally. So I'm a huge fan of his. I think the way he's, you know, brought up from being a reality TV guy to becoming WWE champion, even though he's gone back and forth from being a winner and a loser, it's still a great story, and I'm still a huge fan. Not a huge fan of Sin Cara, though. But I guess we'll talk about the Intercontinental title match coming up at the pay-per-view in a little bit. After this, we saw a Raw recap of the Kane Bryan anger management, which is always very entertaining. And we saw a backstage segment with Kane, Daniel Bryan, and Dr. Shelby with the stress balls, how they both have balls, which led into a Kofi Kane match. What did you guys think of that segment and match, Graham?
I thought it was a decent match. Kane and Kofi put on a pretty good match. It was only 2 minutes. But other than that, I thought it was a good match for Sunday's Night of Champions WWE Tag Team Championship match. But obviously, the stakes of this match, the fact that Kane hugs Kofi after the match, that was hilarious. That was the thing that you're doing with Kane and Dee Bry has been extremely entertaining. But other than that, I thought it was a great segment. Dr. Shelby has been great in his role as well. Hopefully, he becomes a permanent manager for Team Friendship. I think that would be money if they did that going into Sunday. He's in the corner of the corner of their WWE Tag Team Championship on Sunday. But really good segment.
Yeah, I feel like you took the words right out of my mouth while I was watching that segment, while I was watching Dr. Shelby come out after Kane won the match. the immediate thing I thought of was, is he going to become their manager?
Yeah, I think that'd be absolutely brilliant with that concept.
Which seems like we've lost one of our co-hosts, but hopefully he will call back. Yeah, so what'd you think of the segment before with the stress balls?
That was absolutely hilarious, too. The whole thing with Kane and D-Bry and Dr. Shelby. As I just said before, it's been the storyline in the last few months of WWE, the most entertaining things they've had going in months. And as I just said, Dr. Shelby seriously becomes the permanent manager for Team Friendship after they win the WWE Tag Team titles on Sunday, because he is one of the most entertaining aspects of this tag team. So I really, really loved it. And the line of the night was, squeeze your ball, sing, or something like that, whatever he said. Whatever line of the night.
Right, right. I mean, it seems like you put Kane, Brian, and Shelby in front of the camera, and it's going to be gold. It's going to be gold. I think we Sean coming back now.
Sorry about that.
No problem, no problem. After the Kane-Kofi match, we had an interview with Randy Orton. He discussed, you know, Ziggler, and he also discussed the Del Rio-Sheamus situation in hopes that maybe Ziggler will cash in his Money in the Bank contract and face Orton that same night with the championship. Do either of you think that this is a possibility?
No, not even a chance. I just wouldn't see it happening necessarily in that order. Maybe Ziggler could cash in, but he chose to face Orton that night. So I don't see Dolph Ziggler cashing in at Night of Champions. It's obviously a possibility. I would much rather see him do it next month, maybe 2 months from now.
All right, and Graham?
I don't think the scenario is going to happen either. I do possibly see Ziggler cashing in and becoming World Heavyweight Champion on Sunday. But if they were going to do that originally, I think they scrapped all plans for that because Randy Orton is giving away that scenario. Shock away from the match if that was to happen. So it's a possibility that it happens on Sunday, but I won't count on it. I still think my original scenario is that I'll do Del Rio versus Jerry at Month of Hell in the Cell pay-per-view over the World Heavyweight Championship. So, but even still, Randy Orton's scenario was, it was so crazy, it reminded me of what happened to No Mercy. Do you guys remember that from 5 years ago when Randy Orton WWE title that he defended against Triple H and he won it like all that craziness? It's a possibility. I highly, highly doubt it.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel as though the cashing in, for the most part, has been surprising in terms of when they've chosen to have them cash in. So I do think that Ziggler's going to cash in at a time that, even though we keep expecting it at every pay-per-view, and, you know, I don't expect it to happen when we're all thinking that it's going to happen. We did see Orton versus Tenzai. You could basically count that as an Orton squash match, if you want. Seems like the whole point of it was the post-match where Vicky came out and tried to distract Randy Orton, but that didn't work out too well. What'd you think, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, the match itself wasn't really a squash match.
Everybody knew Orton was going to win it. Everybody's relatively
competitive.
Tenzai can go in a ring.
If it doesn't match up, you can't be dropping the answer. That's American. It just doesn't work. It's impossible. And fans haven't gravitated towards it. That's why he is not in the main event.
That's what
they brought him in to do. They wanted him to be part of Johnny Ace. Obviously, Johnny Ace is out. He is gone now. Tenzai has no real direction. So, I mean, the match itself wasn't bad. It wasn't good. Kind of there. It was wrestling in it. After the match, Pippen came out. I actually really like that.
I really
like
that.
With the cool Randy Orton, Piper gimmick type thing. It's just, for some reason, I enjoy it.
Graham?
I thought it was a good match. Definitely better than I originally expected. Kensai is a good worker. I give him much more credit than some people do. Given the right opponent, given the right have a pretty good match. There was no exception here to that rule. It hyped up the match. Orton Ziggler going into Sunday, given the fact that Orton assumed Ziggler was going to sneak up on him and attack him. I like that creativity. It wasn't all that predictable. But this still supports my choice that Ziggler will go over on Sunday. If not, then Ziggler looks cool after beating better recent match by Randy Orton. But still, nonetheless, good match, good finish, and good afterwards from Ward as well.
Yeah, it seems that, you know, Ziggler lost at SummerSlam against Jericho. They can't have him continue to lose and continue to think that they're building him up as the next World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, given the fact that Vicky said that he wouldn't become world champion again, so maybe they're trying to get back to that fact that Orton has a world title nearly a year. Maybe that gives it significance if he does end up winning it.
Yeah, I'd like to see Orton back in the world title picture. It doesn't seem like he's doing a whole heck of a lot while he's been out. I mean, obviously he had the suspension. He was out for 60 days. Maybe there's a punishment there for that whole situation, but they gotta do something with him. Maybe put him in the world title picture.
Yeah, he's too popular not to be having some type of direction at this point in his career.
Absolutely. All right. Well, the next thing we saw was an Antonio Cesaro promo. Obviously, he had to say something in five different languages. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I think that's getting a little old. What do you think, Graham?
I think it's a fine gimmick. At least it's being given something to do. It's not the most exciting thing, but at least it's giving Antonio Cesaro some character and personality, a reason for people to boo him, at least to boo him now. But I did like the segment, though. I mean, if you're going to talk about that. I did like the segment with him.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Coming out in his hometown of Montreal, and Road to Play coming out, and all that good stuff. United States Championship match on Sundays, but I like that aspect as well. But just a side question. Either of you guys listening to the show on your computer as right now?
No, I'm not. I just have the studio up.
Okay. Yeah, there's an echo issue. I mean, I can hear myself echo. I don't know what the problem is with there, though.
Yeah, I was reading with Jay on Twitter. Not really sure. But hopefully we'll get it worked out. Anyway, so back to the Cesaro situation. You guys, either of you think that Brutus Clay or Tyson Kidd might be the winner of the Battle Royal?
I think it's going to be Brutus Clay, personally. I think the last two guys are going to be Brutus Clay and Tyson Kidd. And Brutus Clay is going to do what Brutus Clay was best. And then he will lose later in the Cesaro. But yeah, I mean, it's just Brutus Clay. They've built him up so much, yet he hasn't really done anything. So I think this is going to be the first step towards him starting the being more of a foothold in the WWE, maybe get a couple of title runs.
Graham, what do you think?
I would have to go with Tyson Kidd here. I like Brutus Clay. I like Tyson Kidd. I think definitely Tyson Kidd is more capable of the United Championship push. Whoever wins Battle Royal, I don't think it's the title. I think it's way too early to take off the head off Antonio Cesaro. But I would definitely love to see Cesaro versus Tyson Kidd for the United Championship on Sunday. Tyson Kidd deserves that push. Brutus Clay, if he was to win and win the title, maybe he could do Damian Sandow. Yeah, Damian Sandow will get the championship. That would be great. I'm going to have to go with Tyson Kidd here. I think it's foreshadowing him tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree with you that regardless of who wins this Battle Royal, I can't see anyone beating Cesaro just yet. It's too soon. You know, they're trying to build him up as probably one of the superstars of the future of WWE, and it would be way too soon to end that. Moving on, we had Wade Barrett just come out just to do a little promo, but no match. What's your take on this Wade Barrett situation, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting.
I like
his promo last week a lot better than this week.
I expected him to have some type of match or even a longer promo,
short point thing.
Wade Barrett, since coming back in the last 2 weeks, has been very, very interesting. And everybody knows he's an incredibly talented guy. WWE loves him. They want to push him to the moon. And he's going to get pushed to the moon.
It just depends on
what route they take to get there, and I like that they're going back to his bare-knuckle brawler-type group. I think that's a very interesting decision. And I think it will work. I really worked last week with Yoshihashi. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week. Honest to God, I have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about.
Graham, what do you think?
Love the promo. I've been loving Wade Barrett since he came back last week. His look is great. His ring ability looks even better than it did before. His promo has certainly improved. He's definitely one of the best talkers in WWE at the moment. Love this promo. Hopefully it signals good things for Wade Barrett going forward. Hopefully in the World Championship picture, but I'm liking your slogan that's dope business. Like all that good stuff. At least you could have something to say, you know, as far as structure for his promos go. I think that's cool. So hopefully it foreshadows good things for Wade Barrett going forward. And as I just said, hopefully as a future World Heavyweight Champion 5 years.
Do you think, Graham, that they're putting Wade Barrett too slowly into the world title picture, or do you like this slow build-up?
I like the slow build-up. I think if they put him right immediately in the world title picture, it wouldn't mean as much, mostly because they need to rebuild and repackage and reestablish his character. If they put him back in the world championship picture almost immediately, then the fans wouldn't care about it. He would get zero heat. But I like the fact that they're slowly building him back to prominence, much like they did in 2010. So hopefully we'll see him by world champion by the end of the year. I think he'll be ready for a run with the belt.
Absolutely. And those of you who are listening in, we apologize for the weird echo situation that's going on. We are trying to figure it out, but thank you for listening and staying with us. Moving on, the next match we saw was a Divas match with Caitlin and a returning Beth Phoenix. We hadn't seen Beth Phoenix in quite some time. There was some, I think, personal issues going on with her that she couldn't. She had to take some time off. Sean, what do you think of this match and that whole situation?
Well, I mean, it's a Divas match, so it's obviously not going to be great. They're basically lots of pinball attempts over and over and over again. I mean, Beth Phoenix is Beth Phoenix, arguably the best women's wrestler in WWE today. And Caitlin, very good wrestler in her own right. So, the match itself was boring. It is what a Divas match is. Pinball. I could care less. Honest with you.
Okay, thank you, Graham. What do you think?
I thought it was an okay match. Caitlin Beth Phoenix. They had a decent match. Not as good as between Layla and Natalya from a few weeks ago, but nonetheless, I think it was a nice tune-up match for Caitlin. Going out of champions, I think it's a nice way to build her back up. And to receive a championship after she's been overlooked in recent weeks by Eve. I was actually quite surprised that Eve wasn't shown here. I still speculate that she'll be added to the Divas Championship match on Sunday, but still a nice match to rebuild Caitlin and to make her look dominant. I'm sorry, going to the Divas Championship match on Sunday.
What do you guys think of this, of the rumors and the reports saying that Caitlyn's battle royal botch for the number one contender, that she wasn't supposed to win, that it was supposed to be Eve?
Could end up being a good thing. I mean, who knows what they're going to do with Caitlin now. If they continue to push her, they get another good diva out of it. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes. You really can't judge it at this point to see if it hurts it, if it hurts, helps it. So ask me in a month and I'll have a legitimate answer.
Right. I mean, I rewatched that supposed botch. It didn't look like it. It didn't look like it was an accident. Graham, do you believe the report?
Absolutely. absolutely not. I think it's a load of crap. I definitely think that if it was an accident, they would have reversed the decision immediately. I definitely think that Caitlin was technically the winner of that match. And if Eve was supposed to win, then they just give her back to the finish anyway. Next following week or even on SmackDown, quite possibly. But I had Eve beat Caitlin in a one-on-one match and a one-on-one contendership on the line. So I think that would have made more sense. So if Eve was supposed to win, at least she's involved in the picture. But anyways, I think the report is complete BS. But still, I think Caitlin's a fresh face, and I'm actually glad that she is involved in the Divas title picture because it's much better than having Beth Phoenix versus Layla for time.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Graham. It did not look like a botch. It looked like Caitlin was supposed to win. And like you said, if they really wanted to get Eve involved, they would put her in the match. But I like this Eve situation. I like how she's sort of involved in it. And I do expect her to not be in the match, but definitely to be involved in the results of the match and for her to possibly be a future Divas champion. All right, so after this, there was actually a message sent out about Jerry Lawler. You know, if you want to tweet your well wishes to Jerry Lawler, hashtag GetWellJerry. And I think I speak for all of us when I say that, you know, we wish Jerry Lawler a speedy recovery. It was a very unfortunate situation, and we wish him the very best. After this, there was a backstage segment between Booker T, Teddy Long, and Eve. It seems like Eve is playing nice, and it's making Teddy look like he might be on his way out. Graham, what do you think about this backstage segment and this situation between Eve and Teddy Long fighting for to be Booker T's assistant, basically, or his top assistant?
I like it. It gives Eve something to do. The fact that she's acting face. I mean, obviously she's acting that way to get that promotion to take Booker T's job. But I'm liking it. As you said before, I'm enjoying the storyline with Eve. I'm glad they're really doing an important role, but she's completely trolling the WWE universe and all that great stuff like Jericho did when he first came back earlier this year. I love it. I love that they keep it going. Maybe it will somewhere. After a few reports came out a couple days ago saying that Booker T and AJ might be released from their positions and upcoming weeks, that Eve could take that position. Quite possibly Teddy Long. We're going to have to see in coming weeks. But I'm really liking what they're doing with him, and hopefully the Leafs as well.
Absolutely. What do you think, Sean?
I'm sorry, what were you talking about?
We're discussing the backstage segment between Booker T, Teddy Long, and Eve. We see a lot of Eve trying to one-up Teddy Long and impress Booker T. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I actually like what they're doing with Eve, where they're basically trying to make her WWE.
And
I believe this was the segment where Booker and Teddy had mixed up things. I think that's going to end up having Teddy Long become the manager for Mark Henry once again. He'll want to go back to his roots, and I think they're going to look back on that segment. That's kind of where this whole reboot with Teddy Long started.
Absolutely. Well, I think at this point we're going to take about a one-minute break, and we'll come back, talk about the final match of SmackDown, and then we'll go into our Night of Champions outlook and see how that's looking. So stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. We are back, and let's try to get our co-host back. Graham and Sean, please call back to come back into the show.
I'm here, right?
All right, great. I think we just need Graham to call back in. But we can continue and talk about the final match of SmackDown, and that was the main event between Sheamus and, the main event between Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. I thought it was a very good match. Sheamus ended up winning with the Texas Cloverleaf, which might tell us that that possibly could be the result of the Sunday's match between Sheamus and Del Rio. Sean, what did you think of the main event of SmackDown?
Yeah, I mean, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan are two guys that every match they
every
have,
match
they're going
they
to have,
have
they're going
match.
To have chemistry. It's really awesome
it's really
to see.
Awesome.
I think
yeah.
this is going to be a match
going
that we've used for years to come because they just have that instant chemistry.
It's
almost like a different version of CM Punk and John Cena. Is it as awesome? Probably not, but you know every time they're in a match, they're going to put on an excellent, excellent match. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how many more times we get to see this match. And as for the Texas Cloverleaf finisher usage, I think it's pretty obvious at this point that Sheamus is going to retain his championship at Night of Champions with that finisher, just because the way they've built it up and they've made it seem so dominant and they constantly and constantly are mentioning it on commentary. So I'm expecting to see Sheamus utilize that maneuver to pick up the victory this Sunday at Night of Champions.
All right. And Graham, what did you think of the main event of SmackDown, Sheamus and Daniel Bryan?
Awesome main event. All the matches between Daniel Bryan and Sheamus have been absolutely amazing over the last 2 years. These guys never cease to have an awesome match. Really glad about the main event. Didn't do much hype the Sheamus versus Del Rio match or Sunday because Del Rio really never appeared. I know they showed him on the TV screen watching Sheamus' match, but other than that, they didn't really do anything to get in the Del Rio some heat going into the event. But nonetheless, as far as the match itself, that is a great, great match. Daniel Bryan also got himself over here, putting over the storyline with the anger management and all that great stuff, just like Kane did earlier in the night. Awesome, awesome match. Hopefully they continue the momentum going into Daniel Bryan's match on Sunday, as well as Sheamus' world title match on Sunday for the World Heavyweight Championship as well.
Great, guys. Well, that wraps up the SmackDown rundown portion of the show. So let's talk a little bit about the pay-per-view of United Champions coming up Sunday night. Let's start with the Intercontinental Championship match. We saw through a backstage segment that we're going to have a fatal four-way, The Miz, Sin Cara, Rey Mysterio, and Cody Rhodes. Sean, what do you think of this match on Sunday? Sean, are you with us?
Yep, sorry about that. Yeah, the match itself should be awesome. You know, you got four talented wrestlers. It's going to be very interesting to see how they put it all together. Like I said, it should be an excellent wrestling match. I'm expecting to see Miz retain for at least one more pay-per-view, probably two more even, and then he'll drop it to somebody. If anything, we'll see Mysterio pick it up because Sin Cara is not ready, and Cody Rhodes, God knows what they're doing with that man. So, like I said, should be an excellent match. Not match of the night quality, but definitely second match of the night or something like that.
What do you think, Graham?
Absolutely loving this match. Called this past week on Monday on Raw when they had Cody Rhodes attack both Miz and Rey Mysterio. Should be a great match. Probably going to open the pay-per-view, much like the Dolph Ziggler Fatal 4-Way United States Championship match last year, Night of Champions. It's kind of reminiscent of that, booking the match at the last second, four guys that were just kind of thrown into a match randomly. But I do respect the fact that they've been kind of building around this feud. They've had the feud between Miz, Mysterio, Rhodes, and Sin Cara going on for the last few weeks now. So I'm really loving that it makes sense. It's not all that random, but it should open up the night. Should be a great match. As Sean said, maybe not match of the night quality, but it should be a great match nonetheless as far as my prediction for it. Miz has only been champion for only 2 months now, a little less than that. I think it would be ridiculous to have him drop the title here. Cody Rhodes, he should not be winning back the Intercontinental Championship. He should be an upper mid-card. Sadly, that's not where he's at this moment. Hopefully, he should move up to that point at some point. Sin Cara, absolutely not. The guy should not be wearing a championship unless it's tag team gold. Rey Mysterio, with all the injuries that he gets, he should not be champion. So that all that singles it down to The Miz, he should retain the title here.
Absolutely. You know, I think the only one who has even a chance at winning back, personally, I would have said Cody Rhodes, because I was thinking possibly one of them would turn face and start a feud between the two. Either of you think that that's a possibility of just a Miz-Cody Rhodes feud coming up?
I would really enjoy it if it did happen. I mean, will it happen? Probably not, because those are two guys that I think it's pretty clear WWE wants to stay heel for the most part of their careers, and they want them to carry that heel section of their roster for years to come. But if it were to happen, I think it would be awesome, because Cody Rhodes is, you know, this great wrestler. Overall, he's better than The Miz, but The Miz has improved so much since originally coming into WWE, can now really carry matches well, and it would be awesome, I think, to see those two guys enter a feud. But like I said, I just don't see it happening. It just wouldn't – I don't know the exact word, but just don't see it happening right now. Down the road, maybe, but still doubt it.
What do you think, Graham?
Completely agree to I don't think it's likely. I think it would be a great feud, a great thing to do at some point in the foreseeable future. Probably not. Miz, it should be destined to be one of the top heels in the company. Sadly, he's being stuck in the mid-card. Same thing with Cody Rhodes. But I see what you mean, though. They kind of foreshadowed it this past Friday night on SmackDown as well as Raw. So I think it would be – it could be possible, but it's not all that likely. But if it was to happen, by some chance it was to happen – Miz. I've been calling this for the past year and a half now. Miz must turn face at some point. I think that's money. I think it'd be a nice change for him. I've been loving his look and been loving his in-ring style since he came back a mere 2 months ago. I think a face turn would be perfect. But as of right now, I don't think it'd be perfect at this very moment while he's Intercontinental Champion. And there's a few more feuds that he could do while a heel. But maybe at some point in the future, as Sean said, I think it'd be a great, awesome feud to have at some point. Maybe over a world championship, you never know. But, yeah, definitely at some point I would love to see those guys go at it for the first time ever.
Yeah, they're definitely two of the future of WWE. And Miz is a heel. I feel like his catchphrase is getting a little old. His gimmick is sort of repeating itself over and over again. Let's move on to the tag team championship match. This was something I personally was begging for ever since I saw the anger management segments of Daniel Bryan and Kane getting together as a tag team. And it was great to see the primetime players out of that situation, because I couldn't stand them. Once AEW was gone, I was not for them at all. And personally, I think Kofi and R-Truth, they gear towards the kids, but they're also very, very boring. Graham, what do you think about the tag team picture?
Agreed with everything that you just said. I've been hating the decision to put the tag team titles on Kofi Kingston and R-Truth since they won the titles and had after Extreme Rules earlier this year back in April. Been boring tag team champions. I like them both as singles competitors, not on a tag team. I think they could shine in the mid-card where they're in desperate need of face mid-carders, so I think that'd be perfect for both of them. But primetime players, I love the tag team. I know not many people do, especially without AEW. I've been loving those guys. They're an entertaining duo, but definitely not as entertaining as Kane and D-Bry. As you just said the words right off my mind. I've been calling for this, the tag team between Team Friendship, Kane and D-Bry, since the anger management classes started. I think it's a brilliant decision. Definitely possibly bring back some relevance to the tag team championships to put them on two former world champions, make the titles 10 times more important. So I think this match will be entertaining. Glad they made the move to put them in the title picture this past Monday Night Raw. Hopefully they do win the titles, and I do predict that they will be.
Absolutely. Sean, what do you want to add to this? Sean?
Sorry about that. You guys can hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
Okie doke. Excellent.
What do you think about the tag team title picture?
Yeah, I mean, like Graham said, the tag team championships need an extra boost of relevancy. They have been slowly regaining some of it, but the problem is they were down so far that it's going to take a while to get them back. And Kane and Daniel Bryan would be that boost to this division because so many, they're so over with the fans. People love them right now. And, you know, Kofi and R-Truth, yeah, they're popular guys, but on the level of Daniel Bryan and Kane, yeah, I don't think so. And as for primetime players, when they lost AW, I think they lost their entire meaningfulness to me personally because they're not great as wrestlers. They're just kind of annoying on the mic without AW. So losing Abraham Washington really, really killed them for me and killed all of the momentum they had gained. So really, there's no choice but to have Kane and Daniel Bryan, team friendship, pick up the victory and take the belts and hopefully really boost the WWE tag team division back up to greatness, really.
Absolutely. I agree. I think AEW made the primetime players what they were, and without him, they just became irrelevant. Anything you guys want to add before we get to the Cena Punk situation?
Nope, I think I'm good.
Nope. All right, well, obviously the main event of Night of Champions, we will see CM Punk defend the championship against John Cena in his hometown. I've been reading a lot of predictions. I put mine on, mine is up on CamelClutchBlog.com. I agree with most of the predictions that CM Punk will retain. I'm not sure that he'll do it cleanly, but I do think that he will retain. However, after this past Monday's Raw, and I felt Cena gave an amazing promo against Punk and how irrelevant he's been as champion throughout his time as champion. Graham, you want to start off giving your take on the Cena-Punk situation?
Yeah, most definitely. A few weeks ago when this match was first announced, I was looking forward to it, but not as much as I should. They didn't build up the feud and match as important as it should be, especially after all the history these guys have had over the last 3 years. They really didn't focus on that all that much going into this feud. However, their promo from this past week on Raw really helped save my excitement for this match and the pay-per-view as a whole. Because of their promo, or promos, I should say, on Raw this past week, I am extremely excited for the event as a whole, mostly because of this match. I think that originally I was thinking that John Cena would win the championship, especially since they're in his hometown. He hasn't held the title since, I believe, Hell in a Cell last year, almost a year ago. So I think that it makes sense for John Cena to win, especially after CM Punk got all the momentum. However, after what occurred and transpired on Raw this past week, I'm going to have to go with CM Punk here. I think it makes the most sense. I think that he will drop the championship at some point, no doubt about that, before he faces Rock at Royal Rumble. But I don't think it will be here, because if you think about it, given the fact that it is Cena's hometown, and I know they won't be cheering for him like crazy, like Chicago is for Punk. I know they will be cheering for Cena mildly, maybe a little more than usual. But if CM Punk was to win and beat Cena in his hometown, that would garner major heat, or probably more heat than he usually would in the other you know, state in the United States. Because I know Canada booed him heavily because he was in the ring with Bret Hart. But as a heel in the States, he doesn't get booed that heavily. So if he defeats Cena in his hometown, I think that'd be a great move, more so to put him over as a heel, especially if Paul Heyman got involved and gave CM Punk the victory. So, yeah, I'm going to have to go CM Punk here and John Cena probably to win the title at Hell in a Cell.
All right, well, before we get to Sean's take, we do have another caller. Let's take this caller. Number starting with 443. Are you there?
Yeah, what's going on, man? This
Hey, what's your name and where are you from?
This is the main event, Brian Waters, straight from Baltimore.
What's your name?
It's Brian from Baltimore.
Brian from Baltimore, how you doing?
What's going on?
Would you like to give your take on the Cena CM Punk situation?
Yeah, sorry. I literally just got off. I saw that the show was on, so I figured I'd tune in. Looking at it, I think I'm looking for Punk to go over unclean, of course, But I'm looking for Funk to go over. I'm really loving the dynamic with him and Paul Heyman. It really has renewed my interest in CM Punk. I've been wanting to say that I thought he's gotten stale, but now with Paul Heyman, I care about him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Paul Heyman gives a lot to the situation, and I think if you make Punk lose here, it's going to take a lot of momentum away from him and Heyman. Thank you for your call,
yeah.
Brian.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Sean, what do you think about the situation? Sean, are you with us?
Jesus, I'm sorry about this. Okay, yeah, so
no,
I agree with you guys that Punk is going to go over at Night of Champions. However, I believe at Hell in a Cell, he will once again have a match with Cena, and this time it's going to be loser leaves WWE. Punk will win once again, then John Cena returns at Royal Rumble, wins the Royal Rumble match, and faces The Rock at WrestleMania, because it's going to be Rock and Punk at Royal Rumble. I am convinced that that is going to happen. As for the Paul Heyman aspect,
do you think Cena will take the title in between now and the Royal Rumble?
No.
You think it's all Punk?
I think it's going to be Punk until Royal Rumble, and then The Rock will take it, and then Cena will take it at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I think that's what a lot of people are thinking. A lot of people are saying, though, that Cena will take it in between now and Royal Rumble, but give it back to Punk. But I think that kills a lot of momentum for Punk. What do you think, Graham?
Yeah, I most definitely agree. I mean, for what I just said, I wanted to CM Punk to hold the championship until Royal Rumble. I don't think he will. I honestly believe that Cena will win the championship in the next few months, and I completely agree with you guys. I want that to happen. I just have this bad feeling that it will. I mean, that it won't. I'm sorry. I just fear the fact that Cena will win the championship at Hell in a Cell or Survivor Series, quite possibly. I would love to see CM Punk retain at Hell in a Cell next month and then go on a Survivor Series in a tag team match, maybe tag team with Brock Lesnar, a part of Team Lesnar. Then the opposite team would be Cena and Triple H. I don't know, but I do have a bad feeling that CM Punk will lose the championship between now and Royal Rumble in the next 4 months. But as you guys just said, I would love to see that happen, especially to have CM Punk break John Cena's record and become one of the longest reigning WWE champions in the last 15, 20 years or whatever it may be. But, I would absolutely love to see that happen. But, again, I reiterate the fact that I have a very bad feeling that CM Punk will probably lose the title either this month or next month.
Thank you. Sean, do you think that Paul Heyman will help the result of this match on Sunday? Do you think Paul Heyman will play a part in Punk winning possibly this Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Heyman's definitely going to play some role in CM Punk retaining at Night of Champions, just because it wouldn't make sense to have him not do that. They built it up to where Heyman is obviously in CM Punk's corner. He's obviously going to help Punk retain championships. So it would be stupid of them not to have Heyman go out and help Punk beat Cena. I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see that happen, but I think at this point it's basically written out that it's going to happen.
Right. I mean, this Monday we saw Heyman just come out and talk with Punk and then leave with him. He didn't do a whole lot, Heyman, but he's definitely making his presence felt. What do you think, Graham, about Paul Heyman's part in this situation?
Yeah, I definitely think that he will be involved in Sunday's WWE Championship match in some form or fashion. Again, as I said before, having him help CM Punk win the WWE title match on Sunday, I think will definitely get him over as a heel, cheating to beat Cena. I mean, as much as I would love to see CM Punk win clean, we all know that's never going to happen. Again, definitely against Cena. But, we're going to have to wait and see. I mean, I like the fact that they incorporated Paul Heyman into the storyline this past Monday at CM Punk. I thought that was great, the way that he was talking with him and convinced him to walk backstage. I know some people are saying that he should have been involved in the opening promo of CM Punk or the ending segment with CM Punk and Bret Hart and John Cena. I don't want to see Paul Heyman talk for CM Punk, because CM Punk's obviously one of the best talkers in the company today, so he doesn't really need a mic. He doesn't really need a mouthpiece. But I want to see Paul Heyman associated with CM Punk in some way. Hopefully as a manager, he just doesn't necessarily need to talk for him. But I definitely think they should have made it feel more important. This past Raw, they didn't really make it feel like it was a major happening. They kind of mentioned it maybe once or twice, and that was it. So hopefully they make it feel important come Sunday in the WWE Championship match. And mark my words when I say that he will help CM Punk retain the WWE Championship successfully on Night of Champions.
Yeah, it seems like that's what most people are thinking is going to happen. Now, one thing I want to talk about in the last few minutes that we have is how Brock Lesnar ties into this. I mean, we saw years ago between Steve Austin and Triple H this two-man power trip. Do either of you guys think that we might see another one with CM Punk and Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman on their side? Graham or Sean?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, yeah, you can go ahead.
Graham,
why don't you go first?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would love to see that, but again, I don't think it will happen, merely because of one reason. Brock Lesnar has a number of contracted dates, so there's only a number of times that you'll have Brock Lesnar appear on Raw, and I believe that there's not many left, especially after they wasted so many appearances with Brock Lesnar in April when he first came into the company, and he used quite a few in August when he returned in July. So I don't think that that will happen on a consistent basis. Maybe it will happen for a one-night-only kind of thing in November for Survivor Series if they go head-to-head at Survivor Series. Maybe it will happen on the road to WrestleMania when Brock Lesnar will definitely be back every single week to feud with whoever is going, you know, his Mania opponent. But on a consistent basis on Raw, probably not. But I would love to see that. I think that would be a great, great angle to go with. Brock Lesnar and CM Punk, a dream team, especially with Paul Heyman in their corner. But if it was to happen, I would have to put my money on it happening sometime on the road to WrestleMania.
Right. What do you think, Sean?
Yeah, personally, I wouldn't really be that excited to see it happen just because Brock Lesnar, it seems almost like he's a one-trick pony at this point in his career. He's not really doing moves anymore. He's just punching people and kicking people and trying to lock on the Kimura lock. It was cool the first time around with John Cena. It was awesome the first time with John Cena. Second time with Triple H was just kind of like, all right, that's pretty cool. So the third time around, it might just kind of suck. So,
right.
I mean, I wouldn't hate seeing them team up, but I wouldn't love it either. For me, it would not be a dream teaming type deal. I mean, if it were to happen, I think it would happen one night only at Survivor Series. I don't think they would be able to do it every night and build it into a giant, huge storyline where every Monday night, you know, Lesnar's going to be there with CM Punk and Paul Heyman. Just because, like Graham said, they're running out of appearance dates with Lesnar. So they have to use them very wisely because he has to be there every week before WrestleMania. So how they kind of mandate how they use those appearances will be interesting. But like I said, I just don't see this happening. If it does, one night only at Survivor Series.
All right, well, Graham, do you think there's any possible chance that Brock Lesnar resigns with WWE and makes more appearances than during this contract?
Probably not. I think what the deal that they have at this moment in time will not change until after WrestleMania. I was reading reports a while back saying that Brock Lesnar will more than likely sign after WrestleMania, and that seems pretty possible. I would love to see that happen. I mean, not sign on a consistent basis as a WWE superstar officially, like appearing on every single week. Probably the same kind of deal, because Brock Lesnar is, he's a mainstream icon in the world of sports, especially as a UFC fighter. So he will definitely drive more viewers to watch his matches and stuff. Maybe that quite possibly helped the SummerSlam buy rate. But by any chance, I think it would be a smart move to re-sign him after WrestleMania. I don't think his contracted dates will change up until WrestleMania 29. But another thing that I wanted to add in to what you were saying before, I know a lot of people probably hate me for saying this, but honestly, I think if they were to do something of a CM Punk, Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman stable, throw in possibly Jack Swagger, who also walked out, or possibly The Big Show, who was in the original group, entitled the NWO, and have him reunite, you know, as CM Punk, Heyman, and Lesnar. I know a lot of people are hating on that, and I think it wouldn't be all that bad of an idea, maybe not with the NWO brand name, but still, I would love to see the NWO music, or hear the NWO music, rather, just one more time with Paul Heyman, Lesnar, and Punk leading the group. Maybe throw in Big Show as well.
Right. I'm not going to say I hate it, Graham, but I do not want to see the NWO brand again. I think that's just recycling storylines, and I do like the idea of getting a stable together, starting with Punk and Heyman and Lesnar. I'm not such a fan of Big Show. I'm kind of glad we haven't been seeing him on TV the last few weeks. So I'm okay with a stable. Jack Swagger definitely needs a boost, so I'm definitely okay with him in that stable. But if it happens, I would like to see it be something original in terms of what the group would be.
Yeah, I don't know how I would feel about that, to be honest with you, because there's so many different ways they could go with it. It could be great, it could be awful, it could be all right. So if it does happen, it would definitely be interesting TV, interesting to watch, and fun to watch. I don't know how I would feel about it, to be totally honest with you. But I agree with you guys that it shouldn't be called NWO. It shouldn't use that brand name. It should go out on its own thing. But it'd be neat to see if it does happen.
All right, well, we only have a couple minutes left, so let's go around. Graham, why don't you start? Tell me what you think will be the best and the worst match at Night of Champions on Sunday.
Best match, CM Punk and John Cena. Obviously, those guys have had classics in the past, at Money in the Bank last year, SummerSlam, a subsequent Raw that year, as well as at Raw 1000. So I have no doubt in my mind that will be an excellent match. It's going to be interesting to see who emerges victorious in that one. Worst of the night, I'm going to have to say Layla versus Caitlyn. I mean, Caitlyn isn't all that good of a worker, so I'm not going to have, unless Eve gets involved, but even still, it's not going to be a very good match, not one that all the people are going to be excited for. Probably going to be pretty dead for that match. I'm not going to say it's going to be all that bad, but it will be the worst of all the matches that are advertised for the card.
All right. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Graham that the best match of the night is going to be the WWE Championship match, John Cena versus CM Punk, because they have such a proven track record of putting on phenomenal matches. Every time they meet, it seems like they're putting on classics. So I think that's obvious that will be the match of the night, unless maybe somehow that World Heavyweight Championship match overachieves a ton, or maybe the IC Championship match. But honestly, John Cena and CM Punk are in a league of their own in terms of chemistry and being able to put on just a phenomenal match every time they go out there for it. As for the worst match of the night, I think it's going to be the United States Championship match. For some reason, I mean, I think it's going to be Brodus Clay versus Antonio Cesaro, and that drastically limits what Cesaro can do in a ring, because everybody knows he can go, and he can go out and put on a great match with really anybody on the roster, but Brodus Clay severely kind of undercuts what he can and can't do in a ring, so I think the Divas match will be bad, don't get me wrong, but I just don't see the U.S. title match being that great.
All right, well, thank you guys for joining me. We're going to wrap up now. Thank you all for listening, and tune in next week for another edition of SmackDown Rundown. Hopefully, Graham and Sean, you guys will join me again next week.
You got
it,
my man.
All right, well, thanks again for listening in, and we will see you next week.